till the sound of footsteps counting the radio. Hear the sound of footsteps. Keith Barry David Show.
Hello there, and a very warm welcome to all of you. I'm Keith Berry Davis, and I bring you the April edition of Footsteps, which is coming to you from the Vicarage in Weston-super-Mare. How are you all? I hope that you are all feeling well and that spring is springing wherever you are. First of all, I must apologise for there not being a programme last month. Unfortunately, I was in and out of hospital again and not able to record the show. But I'm feeling a bit better now, although still not 100%. But I am alive and we're rapidly approaching Easter, so alleluia. Well, this month we are looking at the meaning of Easter along with some other faith news. So to get the show on the road, let's listen to Altered Worship, Sing Praise.
Yeah.
Reading through several news stories whilst I've been in hospital, I must admit I'm beginning to get rather worried that our society is getting to be, well, how shall I say it, anti-faith. All the tolerance that people of faith have enjoyed over the past decades seems to be being replaced with a gross intolerance of them. It doesn't matter whether they're Christians, Muslims, Hindus, whatever. There seems to be a general intolerance of religion. The latest story is about an asylum seeker from Iran. Apparently, a reason for refusal letter has been sent by an official in the United Kingdom's Home Office to an asylum seeker, and they've used biblical text to show that the asylum seeker couldn't be a convert to Christianity. The Bishop of Durham, Paul Butler, said that the letter showed a profound misunderstanding of biblical texts. Bishop Paul made his comments after parts of the letter sent to an unnamed Iranian convert to Christianity were shared on social media. In it, a Home Office official quotes passages from the Bible, including from Revelation, before describing them as filled with imagery of revenge, destruction, death, and violence. The letter went on to say that these examples are inconsistent with your claim that you converted to Christianity after discovering it is a peaceful religion, as opposed to Islam, which contains violence, rage, and revenge. In his response to the letter, Bishop Paul, the lead Church of England bishop in the House of Lords on immigration, asylum and refugees, said that he was extremely concerned that a government department could determine the future of another human being based on such a profound misunderstanding of the text and practices of faith communities. To use extracts from the Book of Revelation to argue that Christianity is a violent religion is like arguing that a government report on the impact of climate change is advocating drought and flooding. It's good that the Home Office has recognised that this decision is inconsistent with its policies and that its staff need better training. But the fact that these comments were made at all suggests that the problem goes deeper than a lack of religious literacy among individual civil servants, and indicates that the management structures and ethos of the Home Office, when dealing with cases with a religious dimension, need serious overhaul. The bishop added, "The Church of England has regularly raised the issue of the religious literacy of staff at all levels within the Home Office. This fresh case shows just how radically the Home Office needs to change its understanding of all religious beliefs." As I'm researching this news item, I have actually heard that the unnamed asylum seeker's caseworker has said that the Home Office had now rescinded its decision to reject the asylum claim and would reconsider. I'm glad to hear that this case is hopefully going to have a happy outcome. But what do you think? Is our world becoming so secularised that people of faith are going to be continually attacked both physically and verbally? What is it like where you live? Are people of faith being persecuted? Let me know on the address that I'll give you at the end of the show. Well, our next piece of music is something called I Will Be Ready, and it's by the group Conversion.
Well, there's a voice you can hear inside your head, but the words are just for you. It's a choice that you made long before you're dead, when you say to God the words I do. will be ready when I hear my calling. I will be ready when Jesus knocks upon my door when the night is falling. I will be ready when the kingdom comes. Ready to cry out about what I need, knowing deep within my bones that the only thing that can save my soul is the love of God and God alone. I will be ready when I hear my calling. I will be ready when Jesus knocks upon my door when the night is falling. I will be ready when the kingdom comes.
Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has warned against cultural imperialism, and he called for Christians to be sensitive and seek genuine dialogue when witnessing to those of other faiths. He made these comments when he was delivering the annual Deo Gloria lecture, which is hosted by the London School of Theology at Lambeth Palace last month. The Archbishop warned against making evangelism a product of the marketplace, or an expression of cultural superiority. We need to be ready to speak, to share. This is hope for the world, Archbishop Justin said in his lecture. But let that witness be seasoned with gentleness and respect. He highlighted several challenges with evangelism in the context of religious diversity, and called on Christians to tell people about Jesus without demeaning the other person's faith. He said, "Let us never be guilty of demeaning the light that others have, just to show them something of the light you know. Let's tell people about Jesus and witness to what he has done for us, without feeling the need to presume to tell others what is wrong with their faith." He also stressed the need to listen to people of other faiths. "Let's be honest, how much of our evangelism is one-sided?" he asked. "Any credible witness requires us to be in dialogue with the other. He went on, "Evangelism is about relationship and love, not about building a power base or ensuring the survival of the church." This is why so many religious groups rightly complain of being targeted by Christians, he said. It's one thing to feel a calling to share your lives with a particular culture or people. It's another thing altogether to see their value only as would-be Christians. How do we express our love for others in witness so that they understand that we care for them, even if they make no decision to follow Christ? Well, evangelism is a very emotive topic across all faiths, I think. What do you think? Should Christians be pushing their faith onto other people of faith? Are we right? Well, let me know. I'm sure you will. Well, we haven't heard from Asante Amen for a while, so let's hear him sing Sinners.
Aile, Kush.
Yes. Righteousness exalt a nation.
Sinners gonna weep some more.
Asante.
Oh, oh. Leap a life on Asante. Yeah. Oh. Sinners, you're gonna weep some more. Sinners, you can't hide for sure. Sinners, you're gonna weep some more. Cause the wages of sin is dead. All the wages of sin is dead. All right, now you're going around and dealing with your ism and schism. You're going around and dealing with a bag of bushism. You're trying to fool the people sometimes, but you can't fool Almighty Jah, no time at all. He sits up in the heavens and he knows the truth. A ruler for one and a ruler for all. Sinners, you're gonna weep some more. Sinners, you can't hide for sure. Sinners, you're gonna weep some more. For the wages of sin is dead. For the wages of sin is dead. Kush, tell them.
Papa is still in fit. Papa is still in fit. Still a see I dem a go. Papa is still on the road. But need the lightning all go. Clap off for this still in fit. Watch out for this before them. Crash off for this with them. Proving that this still in fit. Moving at this cause if I know. Righteousness dem a go. Losing at this side. They sell a say him a de cap. And a him a gun the ship. But they spot one charge. Them on in a addition. Me a weeping and a waning. And a gnashing a feet. The blessed is the humble,
yes,
the blessed is the meek.
For the wages of sin is dead. For the wages of sin it is a dead. For the wages of sin is dead. Rasta knows that's the truth. Wages of sin is dead.
Him give them life in a, and him will take them life in a. No shot them with no gun, no stab them with no knife in a. I leave a life in a, say from the tree a life in a. And go and go tell the people them I say a human rights in a. Cha, nothing just so me say. Not only so I me say. No pagan easy ma. Not only so I me say. No self-destruction me say. Not only a sucker Rastafari. Give me the scroll and the same song with go. Hey, go tell the youth no lick out him bread and marrow. Go tell them say your love and joy and not no sorrow. I live for life.
Yes, for the wages of sin is dead. For the wages of sin is dead. You're going around and dealing with your ism and schism. You're going around and dealing with your bag of bushism. You're trying to fool the people sometimes, but you can't fool Almighty Jah, no time at all. He sits up in the heavens and he knows the truth. But I and I Rastafari must go true to liberate the children out of Africa right away. So sinners, you're gonna weep some more. Sinners, you can't hide for sure. Sinners, you're gonna weep some more. For the wages of sin is dead. For the wages of sin is dead. For the wages of sin is dead.
Last time I know that's true. Wages of sin is dead. Aile Kush, give thanks and praise.
Aile.
Oh,
yes, Dada.
Oh, I keep on holding burdens. is, yes. Cause Sinan's law, Sinan's law, gonna feel the right of Ceylon.
The great sound of a Santi Amen there. We are now approaching the end of the Lenten fast as Easter draws nearer. So I'm asking you, how has your Lenten discipline gone? At the beginning of Lent, the Anglican Communion's Environment Network, ACEN, encouraged Anglicans to reduce their use of plastic in Lent. Organisers hope that those taking part in the plastic fast will learn to use less plastic in the longer term in order to protect the Earth's environment. ACEN produced a set of daily challenges linked to weekly themes: plastic bottles and lids, food shopping, bathroom, kitchen and clothing. The challenges began with a commitment to using your own glass or reusable bottle to reduce the estimated 1 million plastic bottles bought around the world each minute. 1 million plastic bottles bought around the world each minute of the day. Wow, that is a lot of plastic. The daily challenges also include banning the use of polystyrene in churches, schools and community groups, and sourcing alternative storage facilities such as lidded containers rather than cling film for foodstuffs. Lent is a time when we prepare our hearts and lives before celebrating the wonder of Easter. It's a time to break free from bad habits that are hurting God, our neighbour, and God's creation. On Ash Wednesday, in the Christian church, we were signed with the cross. And the priest said, "Turn away from sin and believe the good news." So this Lent, we were challenged to turn from the sin of damaging God's planet and hurting our neighbours by our overuse of single-use or throwaway plastic. Here in the United Kingdom for some time now, we've been receiving a lot of reports about the overuse of plastics, and many organisations are trying hard to change our way of using single-use plastics. I've been doing my bit to help. Have you? I hope you have. Otherwise, planet Earth will become just one huge toxic rubbish dump. Time now for some more music, and this time it's from Joyce Sirois and Eternal Life, singing "You Gave Me Life."
Breath, Lord, you gave.
Normally at this point in the show I would introduce some of our new artists. But unfortunately, I haven't got any new music for you this month. It is a while since I put out a request for new artists to consider using Celtica Radio as a platform for your music. So if you are a faith musician of any religion or denomination, you are invited to consider letting Celtica Radio share your music with the world. All the details of how to submit your music can be found on the homepage of our website. Go on, you know you want to. Paula Goodwin now, and she's singing I Believe.
Cloud your mind. Bunker Radio, the home of new music and new ideas.
Rain Striker. Discover the stunning debut album from Eleni Vialaris.
On the wind, ancient voices and spirits sail.
Enjoy 15 original songs sung in English and Anglo-Saxon and uncover a world of fantasy, myth and legend. Believe in magic. Rain Striker. Available to buy now on iTunes and Amazon.
You know, as an allergy sufferer, you're wired differently.
I sure feel that way.
That's why there's Nasacort. It's different, too. You see, unlike antihistamines, Nasacort targets and inhibits more of the allergic inflammation that causes ear congestion and other nasal allergy symptoms.
My antihistamine doesn't do that?
None of them do.
Oh, that is different.
And it's why Nasacort's more effective at giving you 24-hour relief.
So even if I'm wired differently,
Nasacort stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
If you like Celtico Radio programs, then you'll love the Celtico Radio Mixcloud option. On the Celtico Radio Mixcloud, you can listen to special content and material, including documentaries, some of our landmark archive roadshows, and special programs featuring established artists as well as the new music Celtico Radio is famous for. Click on the Mixcloud button on our website at CelticoRadio.com or go direct to Mixcloud.com/CelticoRadio. And while you're there, don't forget to follow us to make sure you get the very latest programs as they come online. You can even listen through Facebook and Twitter. Discover a whole new world of Celtico Radio exclusively on demand on your mobile, tablet or PC. The Celtico Radio Mixcloud option at Mixcloud.com/CelticoRadio.
This is Celtica Radio, broadcasting online and on digital wireless. We're also available on the mobile phone network, plus on the World Wide Web, 24 hours a day. www.celticaradio.com.
As I said at the top of the show, the end of the month is Easter time. That time when Christians remember and celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought that it would be good to think of Easter and its traditions at this point in the show. Well, the origins of Easter are rooted in European traditions. The name Easter comes from a pagan figure called Istra or Eostra, who was celebrated as the goddess of spring by the Saxons of Northern Europe. A festival called Easter was held during the spring equinox by these people to honour her. The goddess Easter's earthly symbol was the rabbit, which was also known as a symbol of fertility. Originally, there were some very pagan and sometimes utterly evil practices that went along with the celebration. Today, however, Easter is almost a completely commercialised holiday, with all the focus on Easter eggs and the Easter bunny being remnants of the goddess worship. In the Christian faith, Easter has come to mean the celebration of the resurrection of Christ, 3 days after his crucifixion. It is the oldest Christian holiday and the most important day of the church year, because of the significance of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the events upon which Christianity is based. Easter Sunday, as we know, is preceded by the season of Lent, which is a 40-day period of fasting and repentance, culminating in Holy Week, and followed by a 50-day Easter season that stretches from Easter to Pentecost. As I was thinking about Easter, I began to realise that commercialisation and pagan origins of Easter, that many churches prefer to refer to it as Resurrection Sunday. The rationale is the more we focus on Christ and the less we focus on the pagan holiday, the better. As previously mentioned, the resurrection of Christ is the central theme of Christianity. St. Paul says that without this, our faith is futile. So what more wonderful reason could we have to celebrate? What is important is the true reason behind our celebration, which is that Christ was resurrected from the dead, making it possible for you and me to have eternal life. So I pose a question. Should we celebrate Easter and allow our children to go on Easter egg hunts? This is a question both parents and church leaders struggle with, I know. There is nothing essentially evil about painting and hiding eggs and having children search for them. But what is important is our focus. If our focus is on Christ and not the eggs, our children will understand that the eggs are just a game. Children can participate in an Easter egg hunt, as long as the true meaning of the day is explained and emphasized. But ultimately, this must be left up to the discretion of parents. So if you are a parent, then please do think about that. Well, to take us up to our choir time, let's now listen to the East Valley Chorale, and they are singing, Yes, Jesus Loves Me. It's now time for our quiet period. So sit back and open your mind to God's Word and let it come into your life. With Easter being this month, I've chosen the Easter story as told by John chapter 20 verses 1 to 18. And my talk afterwards is slightly longer than usual. So here are the verses from John chapter 20 verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he has said these things to her. This is the Gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God. When you reach my age, you often think back on your life. There's plenty of it to think about. Well, I have recently been thinking of how I would like to visit my old grammar school. And I think in a way it would be a rather strange experience to go back. There would be some things that are familiar, I'm sure, but others may have changed hugely, new buildings added, facilities updated, technology even installed. In my day we were still using chalk and a blackboard. None of this modern technology of screens and the like. I would imagine that the school would probably seem smaller than you remember. So do you feel as if you've outgrown it? If it's a primary school, your body certainly won't fit on any of those tiny chairs anymore. Do you remember those? I certainly do. Yet the smell of the polish, the sight of the desk, can bring back the times when school was your whole world. And then what it felt like as you reached your last day, and a whole way of life came to an end. Whatever could life hold beyond the classroom? And I must admit, at that point in my life, I never realised that I would end up being a minister in the church. And in a way, it's a little bit like this with the story that we heard in the Gospel. Just when Jesus' followers think that his story is all over, the plot gains a new twist. As a new week dawns, John tells us how a grieving Mary Magdalene comes to Jesus' tomb to see that its heavy sealing stone has actually been removed. Shocked to find an open grave, she assumes Jesus' body had been stolen and runs to fetch the disciples. Peter and John go inside to discover that the Lord's body has indeed gone. The obvious conclusion is that a robber has been at work. We naturally interpret the unfamiliar in the light of what we already know of the world. But the explanation will not fit. The grave clothes are still there. What robber would unwrap a body before taking it, or leave the coverings behind with the head section separate and neatly rolled up? John, the other disciple, senses that something more is going on. He doesn't yet understand, but dares to believe that this Jesus' extraordinary life is at the centre of something more amazing to come. He does not grasp the full story, but he knows it is not an old story of a dead hero. Left alone to weep, Mary looks into the tomb to see two angels. Can you imagine that? Where'd they come from? They sit exactly where Jesus' body had lain. Yet they ask her why she's weeping. Events grow stranger by the minute. She turns to see another figure behind her. He too seems to have come from nowhere. Common sense tells her that this man is probably the gardener. And if so, perhaps he knows where Jesus' body has gone. As he answers, he addresses her by her name. That one word, Mary, reaches right into her, and she knows that it is Jesus who stands before her, alive. But this is not merely a joyful reunion of old friends. Jesus instructs Mary to go to the disciples, whom he now refers to as my brothers, and tell them of his forthcoming ascension. Unlike Lazarus, whom Jesus brought back to life in this world in a resuscitated body, Jesus himself now heralds God's new creation in a resurrection body that is different. This may partly explain why Mary does not recognize him at first. He's also the last person she would expect to see standing before her, overflowing with life, after she'd seen him on the cross 3 days earlier. As we read the story, we too may have our surprises. Jesus has just risen from the dead, defeating death and confounding his enemies. It is the most unprecedented and unique event in history. Yet the resurrected Jesus first reveals himself in a garden to a woman with little status, either among his earthly followers or in her own culture. Why didn't Jesus proclaim God's vindication directly to his enemies by visiting the Sanhedrin or knocking on Pilate's door? Can you imagine his face? God's kingdom ways are beyond our earthly ways. Serving Jesus as Lord brings change. We may long for him to restore aspects of our lives to how they were, but Jesus' life growing in us makes all things new. As we face the end of life seasons, a failed ambition, a fruitful ministry, a job done, a child grown up, and mourn our losses, the risen Jesus can meet us in the places where we least expect. Like Mary Magdalene, we can be tempted to hold on to the Lord as long as we have known him on our journey so far. But we are to keep following him and allow our lives to be transformed in ways we could never have imagined, although we do not know what that will look like or where it will take us. We can trust the one whose mighty power has raised Jesus from the dead and whose love for us is limitless. Whatever the mysteries of our route, our destiny in Christ is glorious. Let us pray. The presence of our risen Lord is as close to us now as he was to Mary in the garden. So let us bring to him others' needs and our concerns. The risen Christ brings peace. So we pray for the areas of this world still at war, from nations to communities, from organizations to families. We ask that they may be willing to put pride aside, to pursue reconciliation, and to bring to an end repeating cycles of hostility. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The risen Jesus brings salvation, so we pray for the church throughout the world. We ask that God's people may be so grounded in all that God has done in Christ that they cannot help but proclaim God's kingdom to those around them. And where Christians meet opposition, we pray for their protection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The risen Jesus brings life, so we pray for those we know who are distressed in any way, in mind, body, or spirit. We ask that they may know Christ's healing power in their very being, and at their deepest point of need. And we pray for the comfort of your love from those close by. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The risen Jesus brings his call, so we pray for ourselves, that being set free from all that would separate us from God, we would use our freedom to follow Christ faithfully into the good purposes he has for us, to bless others and glorify his name. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit keep us all in the knowledge and love of God, now and forevermore. Amen. Oh my goodness, here we are at the end of the show. Doesn't time fly when you're enjoying yourself? To wrap the show up, we have a lovely sound from Camille Nelson, and she's singing Amazing Grace. Nelson and Amazing Grace. Well, that does bring us to the end of the show. I hope that you have enjoyed the music that I have chosen for you this time and that the topics have given you food for thought. If you do have anything to say about these issues, please do feel free to email me at rev@celticaradio.com. I repeat that, rev@celticaradio.com. So until the next time we meet, take care and God bless. Have a happy and spirit-filled Easter. Bye for now.